Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers. All the little kids growing up on the skids, going Cleveland rocks, Cleveland rocks, jumping jeans, jeans,
jeans, going Cleveland rocks. Wild Card Weekend continues here on CBS. One of these teams will be eliminated from the postseason picture today. From Heinz Field, the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look at what happened during pregame warmups. Joey Porter and Brent Boyer getting into each other's faces. The crowding around, little bit of shoving. Kind of gives you an idea of what this Pittsburgh-Cleveland rivalry has been all about down through the years. Second and goal. Tuamatu-Matafala, touchdown! Well, they have two down linemen and now a third. Holcomb throwing. Complete inside the 30-yard line, looking for the out-of-bounds marker, and he got there. No, now ruled. Caught, but we're out of time. The official was waving his arms, but the clock had expired. The Steelers have won, and they'll advance.
And yet another Cleveland defeat. As the Steelers put them down in 0-3 in the AFC wildcard game, Steelers beat the Browns. That was 20 years ago. And the key to it was, Max, Fuamatu Ma'afala. How about that? I just nailed that name. I've been practicing.
I mean, you should know that name because you had to say that name so many times back in the day. but you did have to go into the archives.
Yeah, well, we just went with Foo. All right. Hey. Yeah. Just give him the Foo.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Foo on the touchdown. Foo. No, what is his name? Foo.
No. His name. Foo.
What's his first name? Kung.
Oh, you're sharp as a bowling ball early in the morning, young man.
Hey, listen, I'm not as good as I once was, but I'm better than I am right now, you know? So
that wasn't even Toby Keith. My goodness, that was good.
No, yeah, exactly. Now, you know, I had to freestyle a little bit. You know, no copyright infringement. But no, I mean that is the essence of this. Like I heard when it was talking about the Joey Porter fight. Like I vividly remember that fight. We are all sitting there on our side of the field.
Now was that William Green, the one that he had been in a couple fights.
Yeah, exactly. So the one that was played was Brent Boyer, but yes, the William Green fight is the one that I'm referring to.
Right, right.
And you know, I just remember that we're in Cleveland. You know, I'm warming up, getting ready, and then you look, you know, when we're having a warm-up stretch. Joey's got it, you know, he's got his jersey rolled halfway up,
right.
Hawaiian Tropic Oil on the abs, right?
You know,
to add definition. And he's just yapping. He is just talking across. This is also the reason why the NFL now has made it mandatory that the teams can only go up to the 45 on their side of the
the Porter
field.
Rule.
Yes, it's the Porter Law.
Porter Law.
10-yard cushion between teams because when we had it at the 50, you know, Joey would be at the 49.99 yard line. And he would be flirting. He'd be flirting with that with just the edge of the hair of the white of the 50-yard line.
Oh my goodness!
And yeah, that melee and fight and everybody getting ejected from the game. I mean, it was wild.
You know what was so funny was I was down there and Joey and William Green started going at it, and Joey shoulder rolled a nice right hand, came back over the top and popped William Green. He got the blow in, the deciding blow. And I was doing color commentary down on the sidelines for Tunch and Billy. Oh, no, yeah. Shoulder roll. No, I did a bob and weave. No, I came over the top. Oh, the right hand scores.
Overhead right wins again.
it was just Joey was just amazing. You know, I love the fact that he could take just a chip of paint and turn that into the biggest chip on the shoulder that you could possibly imagine.
Oh, man. And he could also get under your skin better than anybody else. I mean, he was a world-class blank talker.
Yep.
Since we're not allowed to say that. Trash talker.
Good work, Max. Good work.
Trash talker. See, thank you.
I don't want to wear out the dump button here early on a Friday morning.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm not trying to get any letters sent to the office about my language this early on a Friday. It's too many things. Because I can still say Cleveland sucks. You know, when I was hearing that Drew Carey song, all you think was, Cleveland sucks.
Yeah, man.
Cleveland sucks.
I wish you could have heard it in the background there while I was playing that intro. Max, you know, I've got you both in queue so I can hear you in case something happens.
Right.
Max is in the background going, Cleveland sucks. Cleveland sucks. I was tempted to turn his mic on and let him commentate. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's really one of the greatest rivalries in football. That really is. I mean, I know it's had its ups and downs when the Steelers won like 18 straight or something like that. It's not really a rivalry when you're pounding the other guy all the time.
No, it is. You know, it's just listen, while they're down, kick them while they're down. I mean, listen.
And keep
just
kicking them.
Pour the dirt on. I mean, yeah, no, we don't hit the brake. It's all gas, no brakes when it comes to Cleveland. Come on. And Baltimore. I'm taking great pride in it.
I remember back in my day when Doug Deacon kicked Jack Lambert, whereas Chuck Knoll said, a young man shouldn't be kicked. You know what I mean? It's setting off a melee on the field, you know. And then another year, I remember when Jerry Olsavsky, you know, was over and he tackled somebody out of bounds. He's putting his hand out to help him up. Greg Lloyd came along and smacked his arm and said, we don't do that here. You know,
yeah.
I mean, the disposition and friendliness goes right out the window in good, solid Cleveland-Pittsburgh rivalry games.
Absolutely. Who helps a Cleveland? I don't care if we went to daycare together. Listen. I'm sorry. You know, we're going back to
daycare, buddy. I love it.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if it was my best friend that goes back to daycare, he's playing on the Cleveland Browns. Sorry, we're not friends right now. I don't know what to tell you. We could talk about it after the game is over, but while the game is going on, I don't know you. Like I mean, and listen, my cousin Travis played for the Houston Texans. We're right down there in Houston in 05, right? That game where they decided, hey, we're going to sweat out the Steelers, we'll put them in black jerseys, open up the dome, and we're going to wear white jerseys. And we proceeded to beat the crap out of David Carr and the rest of that defense. My cousin Travis was right there on the D-line. Didn't stop me at all from hitting him on a double team and catching that rib cage.
Listen, a little marinating in the ribs.
You're not my friend right now. And now, if we're on the same side of the ball, listen, we can hug it out. We can have a good time. I think that's why you have Connor and Cam on the same team, right? Derek and TJ on the
right,
same
team. Right,
right. Because you don't want to have to physically hurt your sibling.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But at the same time, I got a job to do. If you are in direct conflict of my said job description, well, let the pieces fall where they may.
You know, let me tell you something that's so true because, you know, we played the Cardinals way back after Ronnie, I think it was his second year or something like that, at Pittsburgh. I can't remember when it was. You know, the Cardinals come down. So I pick Ronnie up and we bring him back to the house and we have, you know, dinner and so forth, and I'm taking him back to the hotel. At the point, it used to be the Hilton there. So I'm dropping him off, and that day was our special teams meeting on Saturday, you know. That morning, we had the run through at the stadium and so forth. So One of the things that they're going to do was Ronnie, they had two guys that would always be back for the kickoffs, and Ronnie was a lead blocker on the kickoffs. So what they were going to do, because he was such an outstanding blocker, and you know what a great special team performer he was, they're going to kick the ball at Ronnie to try to take him out of the blocking equation and so forth, right? So that's a minor detail, you know, really, but here I am. I've got the older brother thing, you know, and all dinner long we're talking, laughing, this and that, and staying away from the subject of tomorrow and so forth. And then I'm dropping him off, and the whole way I want to tell him, you know, hey, be ready. We're gonna kick the ball at you on, you know, tomorrow on the kickoffs.
Yeah.
So I'm in this quandary, right? And I'm like, mm-hmm. So I pull up to the front of the Hilton. He jumps out. And as he starts to walk away, I go, Ronnie. I roll down the window. I go, Ronnie, wait, come here. And I look at him, and he looks at me. He goes, he's leaning in the window, goes, what? And I go, tomorrow. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, and I go, watch yourself. I mean, because you know.
Couldn't help it.
Just watch yourself. You know nothing else was disseminated, right? It's that dilemma. This is my blood brother, and yet I have blood brothers that are Steelers now, you know, and it's the team. It's all that wrapped into one, and it was such a minor thing, but yet it's still something that you feel like you owe the guys that you line up with as well. You know what I mean? And it was such a dilemma for me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it comes, you know, it comes into that moment, and obviously I never had a sibling play with me. So I think I would probably be in the same, especially if you're an older brother.
Yes.
Right. It's like, listen, you know how many fights I've like had to prevent or jump in at right. your aid. It's like, yeah, it comes to a point where you're like, listen, I love you and I can't give up all the juice, but I'm just going to say, hey, just be aware.
That's exactly. He's
what does that mean? Yes, just everything. That's just everything.
That's
be aware.
He looks at. He's leaning there, and I said, you know, just watch yourself. And he looks at me quizzically, and then all of a sudden he goes, oh, he goes, I gotcha. No worries.
Yeah.
You know, he relieved me of any sort of like guilt.
Exactly.
And, you know, he was like, don't worry about it. You know. So
yeah, that's good.
That's part of it. You know, I mean, you have that tremendous, you know, sort of thing going on. But anyhow, I'm not even sure where I was going with that.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about family and,
yes,
all that
there
kind
you
of
go.
Stuff. And whether you like them, because I simply said, listen, you know, about the history of the Cleveland rivalry.
Right,
and I
right.
said, listen, even if we went to daycare together, you're not my friend.
I love the fact
moment,
that so. you can walk it right back to the beginning of it.
It's a good memory right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Yeah, you just yeah. wait, buddy. You wait till you're my age. And all of a sudden you're going, where was I going with this?
Yeah, and that's where writing comes in.
Hey, one more thing too, gentlemen. That wild card come from behind victory.
Yes.
The first playoff game at Heinz Field, now Acrisure Stadium, 20 years ago yesterday, was also the birth of...
Oh, I know it.
Oh, mama, yeah. I'm in fear for my
Wesley.
Life from the long arm of the law.
Doom, 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 doom.
The Browns is coming down for a loss, and they don't have very long.
Boom.
Woo!
Wesley, you're awesome. You're our own karaoke machine, man.
What Wesley-oki.
Wesley-oki.
Wesley-oki is alive and well.
He might have not done Oklahoma, but he can do Oki just fine.
Yeah, exactly. Oh karaoke. My gosh, that is too funny. So yeah, that is an awesome point to bring up about the birth of course,
Renegade
Sticks and Renegade.
Yes, I saw those dudes. They played it live there at one point in time, and they were coming off. And there's something about some of those rockers, those '80s rockers, looking a little rough. You know what I mean? Not that I got the same thing going on. You know, you know. It's like I always tell
era.
You, hey, don't mock me. I'm the face of your future, Max.
It's like, listen. Hey, you did what they did in a different way. You know?
Yep. Yeah.
Same era, same partying, just different outcomes.
Thank you, Jesus. Keeping me together. Oh my goodness, yes. So but yes, all right.
Absolutely.
So we got this big game coming up, my friend. And this is This is exciting. I mean, think about it. If you can get the the Dolphins got to beat the Jets, right?
No, they got to lose.
Lose. That's
to the Jets.
Doggone it all. Let me get this right.
Yeah. We need Dolphins to lose to the Jets, and we need Patriots to lose to the Bills.
Right. Patriots lose and to the Bills. That's it.
Yeah. So Patriots and Dolphins got to lose for us to get in.
Got it.
Which is a very
plausible.
And we got
to beat the Browns.
Thing.
I kept getting that screwed up. I meant to write it down. Yeah. And I was like, no, I got it. You know, stupidly, you don't have it. You know, I mean, you start getting up in the 64, and you know, I'm sitting there going,
yep.
Where did that go?
that's when you have to go back to connect the dots, you know? You just connect the dots, la, 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 connect the dots. The jet bones connected to the dolphin bones. The buffalo bones connected to the patriot
freestyle
bones.
It, Matt. Just yeah. Freestyle right now, man.
Exactly. But no. So essentially, that is the scenario. That is the scenario for the Steelers. Boom. Dolphins, Pats lose. Steelers in.
Yes.
That's the basic way of putting it. And, you know, and of course, related with that, of course, the update with DeMar Hamlin, right?
How about that? Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, got to address his team via FaceTime. So he's been extubated, or breathing tube has been taken out.
Oh, yes.
And he spent time talking to his teammates. I mean, I can't even tell you what that means mentally for a team. You know, because it was funny because, you know, I was like thinking back on like, you know, the 09 championship game against the Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
And when Willis McGahee and Ryan Clark.
Right.
Had that vicious hit. And, you know, you're waiting to hear how Ryan was doing, right, the next day.
Right.
After that. And luckily we got good news sooner than obviously the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
But it's that immense relief that, you know, okay, he's okay. All right, we can proceed. This is how we're going to go about those things. But, you know, you're waiting there with bated breath. And, of course, this event is a lot more intense, a lot more impactful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but still scary nonetheless. I mean, I just remember that was still the loudest hit I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, I remember that.
On a football field.
Yes. Do you remember what year that was?
No, it was 2009. It was January 2009. Yeah, that was an AFC Championship game from the 08 season. I remember that very vividly.
Man,
it was a cold night, and you know, and that hit was still. I mean, in person, loudest hit I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm. Oh man.
Yeah.
I still remember that crack and the fact that they just laid each other out. You know?
Yeah, I mean, both of them. I was like, listen,
Ryan Clark is
I can
a
say
tough
it
son of a gun. I've always had the utmost respect for RC and his game. You know, I mean, because he harkened back to the days of Donnie Shell. You know, I mean, that was a Shell-like hit. No questions about that.
Well, he literally has put his life on the line a number of times. I mean, that hit, you think about in Denver.
Right.
You know, having to be
with the sickle
taken
cell.
To the hospital.
Yeah,
sickle cell trait with his gallbladder. Gallbladder. Yeah, gallbladder had to be removed because of that.
Yep.
And just being sick and then not being able to. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, so, you know, he's one of those few that you just sit there and you're like, listen, what he's given to the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he deserves all of the spoils at this point. Is like he has sacrificed a lot, over the years, but yeah, no, it's one of those things that, you know, for the Buffalo Bills, this is great news, and hopefully this inspires them to go beat the Pats for us. You know, no, just that was a selfish way of saying it, but no, I mean, I think that gives them the okay, right? That's the proverbial thumbs up. When a guy gets carted off the field, you know, obviously still not out of the woods for DeMar Hamlin, but this is just tremendous.
That's turning a corner, man. That
on
is really,
the progression, I mean, when you talk about being touched by an angel,
yep.
That's exactly what this is, and obviously to DeMar's family that's out there in Pittsburgh, McKees Rocks, Stowe Rocks area. You know, he's still in our prayers as well.
Amen. And
I want them to know that as well.
Prayer works, baby. The power of prayer is ginormous. That's just
it
great.
Does.
Gentlemen, good timing here. 10 minutes ago, the Buffalo Bills tweeting this out. Per the physicians at University of Cincinnati Medical Center, DeMar's breathing tube was removed overnight. He continues to progress remarkably in his recovery.
Wow.
His neurologic function remains intact, and he has been able to talk to his family and care team.
Oh, praise God. That's
10 minutes,
awesome.
10 minutes ago from the Buffalo Bills.
That's awesome, man. Man, oh, man.
Yeah.
That's huge. You know, you think about it. And there's other things going on, too. I mean, you know, I don't mean to just switch back, but we're talking about the Browns, and former Browns running back Peyton Hillis is in critical condition after saving his children from drowning. And I don't know all the aspects of that, but it's being reported that, you know, he saved his children from drowning, and he was unconscious in the intensive care unit of a hospital after the incident. He was being treated for problems with his lungs and kidneys, according to TMZ. So that's somebody we can pray for there too. I mean, I don't know what happened, but you know, Peyton was played 7 seasons, in the NFL, starting with the Broncos.
Yeah.
So this guy, you know, oh, you think about with your kids, oh, I can't even imagine. You know, wow.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, there is no urgency and no more greater superpower that is assumed when your children are in danger.
Yes. Yes. You better believe it, brother.
Yeah, exactly. The feats that humans can do and accomplish are tremendous. Prayers up to Peyton Hillis.
Yes.
Rhino back. I remember him on the cover of Madden.
Yes.
Back in the day.
How about that?
So, definitely prayers up to the Hillis family as well. Along with the Hamlin family. But I mean, tremendous news for DeMar.
Yeah.
And his family, and his road to recovery is one step closer, which is a beautiful thing. But
how about
you
this?
Know,
let me
yeah,
just throw this in real quick. It's amazing. He woke up, and what happened? He said, hey, who won? What, you talk about a gamer, man. What a gamer. It's reported in one of the news clippings that he asked who won. I just think, man, what a guy. That's something.
Yeah, listen, until they tell him exactly what happened, and it's like he has no clue.
That's,
you know, and
that's
I think
amazing.
That I'm pretty sure in his mind, yeah, I got knocked out and I just woke up. So, okay. hey, it's only been 10 minutes. It's like, nah.
No, a little bit more time's gone by.
A little bit more time's gone by. Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, this has felt like years to us on the outside, moments to you. But, you know, that is a definition of an athlete, right, an ultimate competitor. Hey, who won?
Yeah, exactly. First things he says just about. So
yeah.
That's fantastic.
Now, if he woke up and said, did we win the Super Bowl, then I'd be worried.
Yeah, I hear you.
But that means he's neurologically intact right there.
Yep, there
he said,
you go.
Who won the game?
Oh, that's beautiful. Good
for goodness.
That's just great news about DeMar, and we hope that he continues and pray that he continues
yes.
to grow back in his rehab here, and all things go well. All right, Max, we need to go to break,
yep.
and we're going to come back.
Yep. Yeah, we are due for a break. All right. You are in the locker room with Wolf and Starks here on ESPN and SNR Radio.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I really say it's a leadership thing, honestly. My first year being at the Steelers and just how they run things, and even when things were bad, we were 2-6, there was no panic. Where I've been in other places, and it's like, The house is on fire. Everybody's about to lose their job. Mortgage is at stake. But here it was just kind of like, let's just continually get better and see what's going on. So I really just give it up to Coach T and how he's kind of conducting things. I mean, he's been the same whether we win or whether we lose.
And the beautiful thing about that, Max, you and I have both experienced similar with our coaches. Chuck Knoll was very similar in his attitude as Mike and Bill Cowher as well, and you played for both of those guys. But the fact of the matter is, I love when players get real and shed some light on what's going on internally. And one of the things going on internally was just the fact that, in my experiences, for instance, with Chuck, you know, we were sitting at 1-7 back in 88. Hey, I know, it's a horrible year. But we won four of our last five, and I remember Mike Webster said the whole reason that the season didn't go down like the Titanic was because Chuck never lost the team. He never lost his poise. He never lost his leadership. He never lost the trust of everybody inside those four walls. And I can say the same thing happens with Mike and with Bill.
Yeah. I mean, and it's that don't flinch mentality, right?
Yep.
I mean, for as bad as things can go, so can it reverse in the opposite direction and be great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're a coach that has experience, that has been here before, you understand that, hey, this is as bad as it can get. But guess what? You still control your own fate.
Yes.
You might not control necessarily how other people react, but you can control how you act. And I think that's one of the things I look at, and that's what makes this so cool, is that you have someone like Mike Tomlin that's a leader.
Right.
That has been here. And when you're a true leader of men, you don't flinch at that.
Right.
You understand that this too shall pass,
mm-hmm.
right?
You know,
hard times are just that, hard times. And it's not forever. It's not permanent. It's not lasting, unless you're the Browns. Sorry, did I say that out loud?
I don't think I heard that. I don't think it. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Unless you're the Browns.
Inner monologue issue.
Let's say it a little louder. Unless you're the Browns.
Yeah. Unless you're the Browns. You know, I'm like Austin Powers when he thawed out the first time. You know what I'm saying? I have no inner monologue. No. But that you can go through these tough moments because you know that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Right?
Yep.
You know, when you've been at this for 15, now 16 years.
Yes.
And you've seen this and you've fought out of this and you've never been below 500. You've had some moments that's tested that record. Right?
Yes, exactly.
And so you have something to draw on. And that's what we talk about. Like young people, when you don't have experience, it's scary. Right? When you don't know what's around that corner. But when you've had somebody that's walked that maze plenty of times, you trust following that individual.
Right.
Because you're like, hey, he's been here before. Look, he's got a map. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
If we just follow the map, we'll be good. And that's the mark of a good coach, a great coach, you know, and a remarkable coach. I mean, you know, I hate to put superlatives on top of each other and build to them, but, I mean, that's what makes Mike Tomlin so great, is that he's been through this. So, therefore, if coach tells me not to worry, I'm not going to worry.
Yes.
If he tells me to just keep playing, guess what? I got to keep playing.
Right.
He knows better than I.
Right. Yes.
So that was great to hear that from Miles Jack. And like you said, he's been in other places, so he's also seen the other way.
Yes, he has.
He's seen the tankathon.
That's what he's talking about. You know, I mean, you talk about, you know, the house is on fire, the mortgages are at stake, and, you know, everybody's getting out of here going. You know, and the fact is, that's what steadiness means in a leader. Look, not to flinch in the face of adversity. We've heard this over and over from Mike, but I saw it up close and personal with Chuck over and over throughout a decade. You know, and you saw that again with Bill and with Mike. You know what I mean? So it's like, the fact is, if you're the lead dog up in front of what I always talk about, what was 45 male alpha males in my time and 53 now, you're in there and you can't flinch and you can't show any panic or any sort of seeking comfort, as Mike would say. It's about, you know, standing up and wear leadership like water wears wet is the best way to describe. That's the best term I've ever heard in describing Mike. And that's the way it was for Chuck. And that's the way it was for Bill Cowher. You know, it's a natural part of your ability to lead. It's like they say, if you're if you're leading and nobody's following, you're just out for a walk. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And think about this. When you named those three names, Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher,
right,
and Mike Tomlin, you just named 50 years of coaches.
Yeah, exactly.
How many places can say that?
That's exactly the point.
I would like to quote the last half century of coaches. Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin. There we go. All right, that's our last 50 years. What about you?
Take you a little bit longer if you're a Cleveland fan.
Yeah, exactly. And guaranteed, as a Cleveland fan, you don't remember all their names.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, and that's what I appreciate, though. So, again, as we talk about this and how they've changed it around, you know what I mean? I think about back in the day in 89 when we had a, you know, 88, 89, there were tough years. And there was a huge amount of noise and criticism coming from outside the locker room. But it was steady as she goes inside the locker room, and that's part of the point. You know, the ability to keep going and pushing forward. And, again, you think about it. Since the bye, things have really changed around. They're doing some great things offensively. Now they're not finishing all their drives. They got issues with that. But the point is they're down a sack a game as far as in pass protection. They're up 50 yards in rushing a game. They're up a whole half a yard or so in yards per carry. I mean – all these numbers are rising and trending in the right direction, and you got to believe that these guys got a turnaround during the bye week and were able to see exactly what was needed to be done and able to answer the bell at the appropriate moments.
Yeah, and like you said, all of that drive finishing, getting in the red zone, not getting a touch, they're all on the cusp, though. They're so on the cusp of just exploding. With points, with touchdowns versus field goals, and it's just right there. But it's growth. Yep. It's growth in the process, right? They're getting better. They're moving along. They're moving the needle. Like you said, so many positives along the way, but the only missing thing is the TD number. That's the only thing that's missing here. And I'm not going to lie, I feel pretty confident about this weekend.
I feel the same way, man. You know what?
I'm cautiously optimistic that we might get it. We might get an outburst.
It would be. I'm telling you right now. You look at the Browns and you look at their defense. They start off the game well, but they fade throughout the game. Their defensive points per quarter. They're at a low in the first quarter, and they're at either at the bottom or near the bottom in the fourth quarter in giving up points. And the Steelers, I think, are reversed. They get stronger as the second half comes on. And then for the Browns, they get weaker. And so it's one of these things I really believe that if you pound these guys enough and give them the opportunity to find a reason to want to quit, they will. And I think that you can break their will, and I think you can send them back to Cleveland. And, you know, it's just a long bus ride.
And then we could sing, Cleveland sucks. Cleveland sucks. There we go. I mean, I think the biggest thing is, right, I equate it to popcorn muscles, right?
Right.
It's like all for show, right? You're all so nervous. Oh, my gosh, this dude, he's so strong. Look at the muscle. He's got muscles on top of muscles. And it's like Bob Sapp. Do you remember Bob Sapp?
Oh, I do remember Bob Sapp. Yep.
Like Bob Sapp. Walking in the ring, you're like, oh, my God, this dude is going to be – this is going to hurt. This is going to be intimidating. I'm like, oh, my God, this dude's so massive.
Yep.
And then I watched little guys after the first round just absolutely whip the crap out of him.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
He had no stamina. He had no chin. Like, you know.
Yep.
I mean, how many times do we see him, like, wobbly legs after getting hit one time in the face?
Yep.
You're like, dude, you literally – are sculpted out of granite. I'm like, and you're seriously, but you're also as stiff as granite too.
Yeah.
But that's how I feel. Like when I look at Cleveland, I'm like, yeah, man, dude, walking into the stadium. Hey, all tournament team, right? You know, it's like, look like the Monstars coming in, but then you realize the Monstars fizzle away and they lose their powers as the game unfolds. And I think that's the same thing with Cleveland. You can't be intimidated by the look. Cause listen, if you look at their O and D lines, you're like, whoo, these dudes should be destroying people. They should have like 500 yards of offense. They should be giving up like negative 500 yards of in defense. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right, right.
We should have a chance. But then you play them, you're like, not so much.
Oh my goodness! Yes, yeah.
So,
yes.
So I mean, I'm just.
Uh oh. We got an update.
Wesley Euler here at the SNR Breaking News Desk to let you know. Obviously, all of Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation will have its eyes on Jets and Dolphins this weekend. Well, the Jets have just announced that quarterback Mike White is out on Sunday versus the Dolphins, and that Joe Flacco, yes, that E-L-I-T-E elite Joe Flacco, will start against Miami. Pittsburgh, your playoff hopes are in the hands of Joe Flacco. Max and Wolf, back to you. I'm Wesley Euler at the SNR Breaking News Desk.
There is nothing like pitching to Johnny.
Exactly. Johnny is on the spot with that one. And let's face it. I mean, Joe Flacco, he's been a winner this season when pressed into duty. I'm sure when he signed that contract, he was expecting to sit on the bench and drink all the Gatorade his heart could desire. But no, he gets pulled back in the ring once again. And asked to do yeoman's work to finish out this season, and you know what? I'm all for it. I'm a Waka Flocka fan right now.
Do you think Flacco's sitting going, "Ah, oh, crap! I was almost off."
Yeah, no question, no question. He's like, "Listen, I have not had to lace my cleats since week 3. I've just been tucking them in the size of my shoes."
Let's get Zach Wilson back in there. Come on.
Come on, Zach. Sorry. He's sorry. Hey, look at this letter I found in his locker written in my handwriting.
You know, I got to stop laughing because it would be like the biggest turnaround. And then Flacco comes out and has like, you know, one of those 148.3 days or whatever, you know, with a perfect quarterback rating. But I'm sitting there going, the most part, I'm thinking Flacco's got to be thinking, "Dadgum, and I was almost through this season without taking any more hits."
I was like, I made it 17 weeks. I fooled him at the beginning of the year, and then I just got to watch everybody else burn around me in the quarterback room. But I just sat in the corner. I grabbed my coffee. I had a clipboard in my hand. They forgot I was a quarterback at one point on this team. Like, I'm a player coach. I'm actually in the personnel meetings with the. I'm not even going to players meetings anymore. I don't hang out with the guys. In fact, anyways, I'm at home because, you know, I have homework. Yeah, exactly. I'm just trying to get out of practice so I can go pick my kids up in car line, you know. We got soccer practice tonight. Jeez.
Boy, that really puts a crimp in it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like now I have to actually stretch, you know. Just get in the sauna and walk out to practice.
I can't wear my place kicker shoulder pads.
Yeah, exactly. I just had spider shells on game day. I mean, it was great.
It's all out the window. I'm gonna leave my Subway sub. I gotta leave it in the locker room now.
Yeah, it's like no hot dogs at halftime.
Okay, we better go to break.
Hey, where's my mouthpiece? Mouthpiece. Need a mouthpiece to go in here. it's in the container to the left. The left.
If I had abs, they'd be cramping right now.
Yeah, exactly. All right. We'll be back with more in the locker room, Wolf and Starks. And, of course, Johnny on the spot here, Wesley Euler, our fearless, you know, karaoke master / breaking news reporter here in the locker room on ESPN and SNR.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
They bring Ford. Ben pumps, he's hit, and down he goes near the goal line. And that was Jadeveon Clowney just on him before he could do anything with the football.
Back back at the SNR Breaking News Desk. It's a busy day here in the news world. Folks, according to Cleveland.com just minutes ago, Jadeveon Clowney sent home by the Browns Friday in wake of an interview with Cleveland.com where he said he was 95% sure he wouldn't be back with the Browns and he will not practice today. His status for Sunday versus the Steelers still remains uncertain. Max and Wolf, back to you.
If you read the article about Jadeveon Clowney, which was essentially him just complaining about the fact that the defense is all geared towards Myles Garrett, who he repetitively, in that article, he keeps saying he's got no problem with Myles Garrett, that, you know, they're buddies and they're all copacetic and everything. Myles Garrett has 15 sacks. Jadeveon Clowney has 2 sacks. But at the same time, he says, well, they're giving all the best positions to Myles Garrett. Well, maybe Myles Garrett is better than Jadeveon Clowney, but Jadeveon Clowney certainly thinks he's comparable to Myles Garrett and is really complaining about it. It's amazing.
Yeah, 95% just became probably 100% after that one. In case you were wondering where that lingering hanging five was,
Left down.
Yeah, exactly. Just go ahead, find it, found it, found it, guys. We can close this case right there. There it is. Hardcore detective ship right there. Great job, everyone.
Boom. Yes.
The quickest way to get out of there is to have that article and get sent home right before the last game of the season.
Max, he says that he chose to only play third downs and that Taven Bryan started in the last game that they played because he felt that, he wasn't getting where he should be, you know, that they flipped him after he practiced on one side the entire – who cares? I mean, I would think that Clowney would be like, so what? You just, you go wherever you go, but you play. You be a player, man.
Exactly. I started like 36 straight games at one position?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and they flipped me. Yep. Okay, and? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, what's the problem?
Yeah, it's like, all right, let's go to the next one. Hey, am I still on the field? Does the check still clear?
Here, wait, just let me wait a moment. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's auto-deposited. Boom, I got an alert. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. May I have another? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, get out of here, man. Like over here crying about your production. How about this? When you get on the field, make it difference.
Yeah.
Whip the guy in front of you.
Yeah.
If you're worried about it.
You're only talking sacks.
Yeah, don't take it out on your teammate. Are you serious? Really? He's busting his butt just about. Oh, it's geared towards him. Well, he gets the double teams. You don't.
How about that?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You're getting the one-on-one blocks. Your other teammate's getting the double team blocks. How is it geared towards him? It's based on the opponent, not the actual team.
How about that? You know, I forgot about that. I wasn't even thinking. You know, I mean, just I guess his lack of being a team player just stands out to me. You know, you're not in the same category as Myles Garrett. You're a good player. He's a 9-year veteran. You know, he's had, 9 and 10 year sack or 10 sack years, but he's not anywhere near Myles Garrett as far as that threat. You know, I don't know. I think he thinks a little too highly of himself.
Yeah, listen, we thought highly of him back when he was a rookie and he did not perform.
Right, yes.
And he has not – now, that might be the weight of his own conscience bearing down on him, but you have nobody else to blame but yourself. But, hey, nobody else got you injured but you.
Yeah, ain't that the truth.
You are the one that has to choose to rehab and be more efficient. That falls on you. Like, this is no long. There are no scholarships.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like this is your own onus. Your deeds determine what you get, right? You eat what you kill.
Yep.
In those moments.
And he's not going to be eating much. That's a shame.
Exactly.
I thought this guy had so much ability when he came out. You know, there was so much noise about him, and he never made the jump, really, to that level that you thought he was capable of.
We're basing his entire skill set and abilities off of one hit. Right?
Right.
We all remember the hit that he laid on the Michigan running back. And, oh, my God, this guy is going to be the most dominating guy of all time, right?
Yep.
And we were waiting to see that hit again. And we never saw it again. You know, not to get into too philosophical, but, you know, it's just like, you know, when people are talking, when you talk to, like, addicts and guys who've recovered from drug addiction, right?
Right.
It's been, you're always chasing that first high.
Yeah.
And you never find it again. That's why you continually do it, right? Because you're looking for the same thing. We were looking for that high of him literally hitting a guy and his just entire helmet exploding on contact. And we're expecting to see that from Jadeveon, and we have not gotten that over these last number of years.
Exactly so. Man, oh, man. It's amazing to me. I mean, to sit there and complain and say that you're not going to be back because they're feeding Myles Garrett at my expense. Ah, man. I mean, that's, you know, when I was reading that this morning, I'm thinking, boy, how are you going to go into practice and face everybody with that out there? and then I'm going, is the locker room so, I don't know, sterile anymore that, you know, whatever anybody says doesn't bother anybody? Or and then all of a sudden you go, oh, he's sent home. Okay, I guess it did get under the skin of the people that ought to be a little upset about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's the thing. You have nobody to be upset with but yourself.
Yeah.
At this point. So, you know, woe is me. That's not me. Because, right, you know, hey, this just hopefully for the Steelers, this gets them at a position where, hey, listen, this Browns team is already starting to implode on themselves before we even get to Sunday.
Absolutely.
Surprise, surprise. As much as things change, so does things not change. And I think, you know, this distraction, but if you're the Steelers, can't let it distract you. Same approach. Pretend he's there. However you're going to play, play that same way. Same energy. Don't allow their dysfunction to affect your functionality.
Don't let it
bleed over onto you. No. You know, hey, listen, they got problems. Go ahead and give them a reason to have problems. Make it a lot easier. Like you said, make that 95 100.
Absolutely. No question about it. All right, we better roll, man. Because you know what's coming up, baby. Tell me what's coming up.
Oh, it's the Power Hour on a Friday. Here in the locker room, we're going to continue more Steelers-Browns season finale when we come back here on SNR and ESPN Radio.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.